Welcome. My name's Mark Fussell, and I'm a program manager that works on the Azure Service Fabric team. And today I'm going to talk through a little bit of the history of Service Fabric, some of the background where we built the platform, and particularly focus on some customer stories. So we started Service Fabric, a project many years ago. In fact, its histories are in Azure databases. We started a project called CloudDB, where we wanted to host SQL Server as databases in the cloud. And that was about 10 years ago. You see, Microsoft is no stranger to building services. We've built many big services today. We have Bing, we have Exchange, Office 365, and of course, a range of different services in Azure. But when we built Azure databases for the cloud, we realized there were many new problems we had to solve, things that were different from some of the other services. And a lot of that was down to the fact that databases were stateful, and you had to deal with lots of other hard, complex problems. So for example, we built clustering technology so we could cluster and scale out up and down a set of machines. We built some form of containerization so we could deploy databases. We had to do failover. Increasingly, we found that not building the service was hard, but it was managing the service. How do we do rolling upgrades? How do we deal with failures? How do we roll out new features into a set of databases that were constantly evolving over time? How do we get rich telemetry from the application itself and from the underlying platform? How do we deal with security? You know, security up front is a number one consideration for when you build services. How do we deal with the failover mechanisms, telemetry from here? And there were many hard problems we had to think about. And we built all this technology into Azure databases, and we ran the databases on that service for a number of years. And then we realized what was great is we should take this platform as a whole, generalize it for the company, and start to build a wealth of other services. And so that's exactly what we did. We went and built Skype for Business running on Service Fabric. We built many services inside Azure, the back end of Cortana, and we gained more and more experience for how we run these services and the capabilities that were pushed into them in order to make it a distributed systems platform. And that's where we are with Service Fabric today. You know, we as Microsoft have built these services, understood the capabilities, what we have inside them all, and built a set of features inside there that we released to you as a platform, you know, built last year, and then we GA'd it this year as a service. And as we look forward, we see that there are many customers who are now taking advantage of the platform that we provide. In fact, this is just a selection of some of the customers from our preview program, and many of these customers are running live production services that we have today. What I wanted to do was touch on three of those different customers because I think some of their stories really help drive home, you know, what is it you expect to get from a platform and really what it means to build cloud-native applications. Because there's this great shift inside the industry. You know, we've had this movement from going from mainframes to client-server, and this shift now of taking that on-premise set of client-server architectures that you built, typically monolithic in style, and this time breaking them apart into a set of services that you can run. And for that, you really need the help of a platform because there's just too much complexity to solve in the underlying infrastructure itself to make these things run. So let me touch on my first customer. The first customer here is a company called TalkTalk. TalkTalk is a content provider. So they provide content for videos, and they encode those for many different types of platforms. So they encode them for iOS, for Android, for PC. And they found that they'd already built a service that they had run, and they'd literally took the code that they had built on-premise, and they moved it into Azure a few years ago. But as their content catalog increased, they bought another company called Blinkbox, which also provided them a huge content library. They found that this encoding workflow that they were building just couldn't deal with the scale. Plus, that they found that the ability for them to add new features required them to have downtime for this service. So they took their application, they took a particular piece of it, which was their workflow encoding service, and decided to re-engineer this piece of this overall application to use Service Fabric. And so that's exactly what they did. They took this encoding workflow application, and they decomposed it down into seven different individual applications. And the way they did that is they thought about a microservices architecture for each one of those played a specific role. And the one that, you know, I could focus on here particularly is the encoding workflow application. They exposed this as an API through API management. Here you pushed out encoding workflow jobs onto through a front end, through a web API front end, through OWN. It pushed it onto a set of queues into a reliable dictionary that enqueued each one of those jobs. And then they used their active programming framework to pull jobs off one of those queues and then effectively interact with other services inside Azure, notably batch and media services, just to run small pieces of workflow that encoded this particular movie for this particular format. And when those jobs were done, either through bimedia services or particular encoding algorithms that were bespoke with inside Bash Compute, they signaled back into the active service and then in turn pulled a job off the reliable dictionary queue. And so this overall service, they were able to deploy. They have other separate applications that manage other services inside of here, but they were able to scale this out, deploy it, and upgrade this at different rates according to how they rolled out new features across this platform. So they were very successful about re-engineering a piece of an existing application using Service Fabric and its programming models. The next customer, and by the way, both these customers, TalkTalk and Mesh Systems, are written out as full detailed case studies on the Azure Service Fabric team blog, so I encourage you to read them. I've posted the URLs here in the slides. But the next customer is Mesh Systems. And Mesh Systems also had an application that they had built and written on Azure, but it was much more focused on using cloud services that they had today. But the problems that they wanted to overcome was, again, one of scale. It was another of density as well, and the fact that they wanted to improve create a service that ran at larger scale to reduce their overall cost usage for their application, as well as just dealing with huge numbers of IoT events. So they're a company that deals with different types of IoT systems. They work with different partners to build bespoke systems for them. And the one particularly that they built on production that they run on Service Fabric today was a thing called the Netlink WAN, where they managed a set of lighting systems in parking lots. And as this diagram represents, you know, one of these parking lots was in with car dealers. They set up these particular lighting systems that had telemetry from these lighting systems and control back to these IoT devices. All the information that comes from these lighting systems gets pushed out over a carrier network, pushed down into Azure, where their Service Fabric cluster is running. And the way all this telemetry comes in is they built a number of different Service Fabric services. So they built field gateways and protocol gateways, just as stateless services, where they could ingest these messages that came over the carrier, over a VPN network. And typically, they then push those into Event Hub so they could have these all as buffered up, and they could then digest these in their own time. They've built services to pull those out of Event Hub. And again, they use an active programming model here as a representation of how they represented the virtual state of the devices. Interestingly, you know, Service Fabric here was used for the hot data path of how they calculated the telemetry from the particular device, what lighting pattern should be on at which time, the general health of the actual device. They could also push signals back out through their protocol gateway, back out to the individual devices themselves and control them. And then most of the data that they had from those telemetry devices was pushed out into long-term storage, both SQL and table storage. The SQL view that they built there was a short-term view where they could see the data over the last day or two-day period and do more warm-like queries over it. While the table storage was used for full historical capture of all the telemetry data for all devices over all history of time. So they're able to go back and see general usage and lighting patterns that they had set up. So as a whole, they built these a set of number of Service Fabric services, deployed them into a set of clusters, and now they're able to individually scale and update each one of these. The final customer is one that we featured quite strongly in when we did our GA at Build earlier this year, and that's a company called Age of Ascent. And what they built was a massive multiplayer game, one where you could have thousands of concurrent players all playing real time together, simulating and effectively doing huge battles in space, all networked together and running inside Azure. The scale of this is enormous. You know, they term to have huge collections of players congregate at particular points in space, and the telemetry that goes back and forth from these all run through different devices, like on the browser or on your laptop, allows you to collaborate over this in real time. And the thing that they were very concerned with was the fact that they needed to be able to run a set of services very, very efficiently on a set of machines. They wanted to be able to pack high density inside here, deal with huge numbers of network events that happen between the actual set of machines, be very fault tolerant that if machines fail, they could fail over to another, fail their game over and keep the games actually running, not lose any data from these huge, large space battles that they have. And of course, you know, it being a game, people are very concerned about having bug fixes and new upgrades and new capabilities added to it. So the ability to roll out changes to the app and evolve it over time is something that's very important inside the gaming world. So Service Fabric again provided them this clustering approach on the way that they can break down, they could cluster across the 40 machines, break the whole application down into a set of microservices. The green ones here were generally were all of the sort of back-end services where they could deal with some of the communication and the accounts and the player, the commerce in terms of trade inside all of here. Think of these as sort of your business back-end. And then on the front end, where all the devices connect through, they connected everything over sort of web sockets, allowed them to do exchange of messages from all sorts of different devices. And then they were able to represent the whole of space through a partition stateful service that allowed them to literally divide up space into partitions that you could find. So they had a partition that represented these coordinates of space, this partition represented other coordinates of space. And as particular partitions became more overloaded than others, they're able to distribute that load evenly across a set of machines. And of course, because they're very cyclic as well as a game, adding new machines, scaling up and scaling down became very important to them. So overall, an architecture of decomposing it down into stateful services of their backend, having high performance connections from clients, representing the state of the actual game playing now, the fact that they can scale out that game and deal with failures became very important to them. In fact, I strongly encourage you to go onto their blog site and you can see and even beta test their game today that they run on Service Fabric. So hopefully with this, I've given you a flavor of what it means to look at some of the Service Fabric applications, what it looks like in terms of some of the customer case studies. And I fully encourage you to kind of spend some more time reading more in depth about these on our blog site, where they go into the actual details of the overall architecture. And we'll be publishing many of these over the years to come, because learning from customer case studies is one of the most important and easiest ways to understand how to use Service Fabric. Thank you for listening.